Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. I am Brian Brown, your co-host. We are in the historic B.B. McKinney Studios. The Lifeway Tower.
I'm getting a phone call here.
This is what we're talking about.
No, it's on a... I've got text messages.
Mike's got his cell phone out, and this is what we want to talk about today, Mike, and I'm sure that many of our listeners right now, they might be listening on their device,
today. And we're glad.
But hopefully not doing other things. So we're talking about today the intervention. This has to do with a blog that you wrote, and we wanted to talk about it today in the podcast because it got such a great response. A blog you wrote called The Intervention. So tell us, what intervention, we've heard of this before, but what intervention did you have in your life?
You know what an intervention
and
is.
It's
when people that you love you,
right,
and that you respect, see a pattern in your life, and that's destructive. That's hurtful, and you've been challenged about it. The loving confrontations have been mentioned and dropped in, but nothing has changed. So an intervention is when like everybody piles on and says, "Okay, mm-hmm, you got to stop what you're doing." So I did write this blog because although it wasn't a group of people that all got together and did an intervention like that Seinfeld episode that I'm thinking about right now, over a course of about a week or so, I had about four or five different messages that got to me in various forms. One of them was a video that somebody sent to me that somebody had spoke on this. Another one was an article I was reading. One of them was in a meeting here at Lifeway, another leader at Lifeway talking about this issue. And one of them, quite frankly, was at dinner at my house when some people around my table said something about this. And then on a recent vacation I took, this idea of being my life revolving around a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so the intervention was all of these voices in my life saying to me within the space of about a week, your phone is running your life, the rest of my world never has my full attention because mm-hmm, my phone is demanding so much of it all the time.
It's such a good reminder, Mike, and so many of us are there that constantly we're allowing ourselves to be distracted by a device. You know, I just finished, as you know, recently reading a biography on the life of Leonardo da Vinci.
Yep.
And one of the chapters that I found so fascinating was how observational da Vinci was. And they talked about he would observe the flight patterns of birds. He was very interested in flight, as many people know. And he studied birds, which species of birds flapped faster on the downstroke than they did the upstroke, which species of birds flapped faster on the upstroke than the downstroke, and which species flapped the same speed up and down. He observed that, and he would write about it in notebooks. Now, he was a genius, but I thought, man, who would have the time in 2018 to observe the wing stroke patterns of birds? But boy, somehow in the last 500 years, we've gone from having the time to do that to not having the time to consider our wife and kids.
Well, I'll tell you, and herein lies the problem. We call them smartphones.
Yeah.
But here's
ironic.
But here's what all the research is saying, is that these phones are actually making us very dumb. I mean, they may be smartphones, but they're actually creating stupidity on our parts.
Yeah.
It's to a point now. One of the things a video that I saw talked about a research project that was done in laboratories, in medical laboratories, using rats, rats
and mice. They always start with mice and rats.
They do, the mice and rats. About the effect on the brain of intermittent distraction. Mm. So they actually did this study with a control group of mice and then a study groups of mice on what it would be to put them in a maze, to solve a maze.
Right.
And then ever so often, every 20, 30, 40 seconds or so, put a distracting light or impulse in the mice's path. Mm. And do that over and over and over and study the effect it has. Long story short is they determined that these intermittent distractions, which in the cell phone world would be a call or a text or a Facebook or whatever app that you're on, video game. Those intermittent distractions made those mice, it took them three times longer to solve a maze if they had those little distractions.
Yeah.
But here's the scariest part of what they discovered, is that once the mice learned the maze, when they removed the distractions, it still took those mice three times as long to solve it without
the
distraction. So the effect was permanent.
Wow.
And that was not just one study. That's been many studies that have shown this propensity to divide your attention to a device that's nearby, whether whatever you if that's an iPad or a phone or whatever it happens to be. But if you're having a conversation with someone, but 3 feet away from you is something that is demanding intermittent attention from you, you've done, and I've heard some people argue with this stat, but this was what this particular report said. Basically, you have done, in effect, you have lowered your IQ. In effect, not literally, but in effect, you've lowered your IQ about 20 or 30 points just by having a phone on the desk in front of you that your attention is somewhat drawn to while you're having a conversation. So in my life, there needed to be an intervention. You know how it goes. We are constantly texting each other. You and I text each other all the time.
All the time.
And all of our leaders here in Lifeway Worship. And of course, we're always looking at email. We're always looking at social media. And then when we're really bored out of our minds, we go to Facebook or some kind of other Instagram or some kind of other thing that we're just – and we're watching news 24/7. And we not only would we not notice the flight wing patterns of birds, we wouldn't even notice that there are birds flying because of how distracted our life really is.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, Mike. I look back over history. You know, I'm a big history buff. And I think about, you know, we always look at the gross domestic product and did it grow 2%, 3%, 4%, 1%. You know, this is in the news today. But during the Industrial Revolution, our GDP grew exponentially faster. We didn't have all this data. We didn't have immediate access.
No.
We didn't have cell phones, and we were more productive. It's really staggering to me how little the conveniences that we have in our lives have added to our productivity and have added to our success and have added to our growth. They've really served more to distract us. And, Mike, there's a biblical principle here that we've discussed before, and that's the principle of Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, The Pharisees went to the point of making hundreds of laws about all the things you couldn't do to honor the Sabbath, which, of course, was ridiculous. As Jesus said himself, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But at the same time, it's a commandment of God as well.
Yeah.
And boy,
and
do
Jesus
some
modeled
of us
it.
He did. And, and do some of us need a cell phone Sabbath?
Yes.
And I mean desperately in our lives. The point you said about IQ, Mike, we were in a staff meeting this morning. And I'm just going to say it. I'm going to call it out. Half the room had laptops open on their desk. And I've heard you quote how much your IQ drops in a meeting when you're distracted.
Yeah.
What that means is the meeting we were just in this morning, we didn't make the best decisions we could make.
Yeah.
Because at least half
or
the room.
Or as many decisions as we could.
And those of us who didn't have laptops had cell phones in our pocket I saw people checking, and I might have checked if it buzzed. We've got to turn off the buzzers.
Yep.
We've got to turn off the notifications. Because the moment that, you know how it is, Mike, bzz, bzz, I mean, I'm sitting here now doing a podcast, and if that phone buzzed, I would want to check
You'd look at it.
I'd
yeah,
be distracted.
Exactly.
And so we have got to find ways to take Sabbaths from those phones. For 10,000 years, human beings lived without cell phones. When I was 18 years old, I got in a car with my erstwhile cousin, love you, Chris, and we drove 12 hours to Oklahoma City where we were going to go to college in a jalopy.
Yeah.
And there, if we had broken down, we would have had to walk a mile to a payphone. And you know what? It would have been all right. I mean, the idea of this constant connectivity, instant access to people, I just don't think it serves us well. And in ministry, it's particularly pernicious.
Well, listen to this. All of these devices are sold on a premise that they're going to be time savers.
That's right.
And everybody I know has multiple devices. And everybody I know is busier than they've ever been. And you know what? Not just the the quantity of work that we can accomplish, but the quality of it.
Yeah, so important.
I think about this as somebody that tries to write stuff every once in a while, like a book or an article or a song, and you're trying to, and you have to fight for some of these lyrics and some of these concepts to say them the very best way. And that phone is over. And watch this. Let me tell you something else that happens with these things. We create this echo chamber of thought.
Yeah.
Because we will be working on something and then we'll decide, well, I'd like to know a little more about that. So we'll Google it. Mm-hmm. And instead of us pressing through a thought process that leads us to our own fresh, unique.
What we think,
we'll now go to an outside source whose worldview might be completely different than ours and not even biblical. And we will be influenced by all the news that we read, by all the tweets that are going out. And we're taking in all this information all the time and rarely ever being still enough to figure out what we think about anything. So we could probably talk another hour about the curse of all this.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some practical things. Here's what I did when I wrote that blog. I brought out several practical things that I'm doing in my life, and I've got to say I'm doing them now. And I want to point out something to you. In our meeting this morning, you were talking about all the phones. You didn't see my phone on the table.
No, that's right.
I've made a change. I made a constant choice. I don't put my phone on the table. I didn't have my laptop in that meeting.
Yeah.
I had my phone in my pocket, and there was a message I was expecting to get that was pertinent to the meeting we were in. So I was kind of looking for that message over the course of the meeting. So two or three times I did look at my phone. I have to admit that. But a month ago, I would have had it laying in front of me, hoping it would buzz because I want the distraction of it.
Right.
You know, I almost like the pace of all these thoughts coming to us. So here are the practical things to do. Number one, this is something I would say anybody, bring no devices to the dinner table. Hmm. None, zero. Not you, not your spouse, not your kids. Don't let there be a single phone at the dinner table. Just put them in the other room. And don't, and this is now a rule at my house. Of course, my mother-in-law and brother-in-law live with us.
Right.
They don't bring phones to the table, so it's not an issue for them. But for me and Teresa, it's been an adjustment. And for my son, John, who frequently eats with us, we've asked John. We've actually made a kind of a joke out of it. John, don't bring that phone to the table. We have no phones on the table, no computers on the table. Our dinner, our lunch is device-free.
Mm.
And that's a simple thing. The lunch is 30 minutes long, tops.
Right.
But gosh, we actually don't have a phone there. We actually might even talk to each other.
Yeah.
So that's one simple thing. You've already referenced this second one. In your meetings, when you're meeting with people, don't put your phone up.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, here at Lifeway, our meetings are all over this building, which, by the way, is one of the reasons I'm really grateful for this new headquarters.
Right.
All of our meetings all of our meetings are in one building.
Yes.
In the old location, our meetings could be in five different buildings.
Absolutely.
You'd have to at least
three city blocks away.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd have to allow 15 minutes to get to a meeting. But all of our meetings are really close by. But I don't take phones into meetings anymore. Mm-hmm. I literally will put it in my briefcase and leave it in my office. And I don't take phones to meetings. I've told my assistant, not everybody has an assistant. I'm blessed to have Anna Claire, my assistant. I've told Anna Claire, I don't have my phone with me. If the building catches on fire, you'll have to come get me or text or somebody that's in the meeting.
Yeah.
And I don't have my phone with me. So I'm not even tempted to put it on the table. I don't even have it in my pocket in those meetings.
Mm.
So that's another change that I've made. When I'm out in a social setting, oh, by the way, I would say this to any worship leader. Don't take your phone to church.
Mm.
Don't have your phone in your pocket during a worship service. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
That is a distraction of your mind, whether you ever get a call. And you're sitting there thinking, well, if the sound man needs to, you know what? He can get up. He can walk down to where you are. He can send a message. Or he can find somebody. But I'm telling you, as a worship leader or a pastor, you should not have your phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. The fact that it is there. And I would challenge anybody, when's the last time that you had your phone in your pocket in a worship service and a essential, vital message came to you that would have affected the service?
Right.
And I venture to guess that there's probably not a single person out there that's received a critical message during a worship service that couldn't have waited to the service.
There'd
was
be
over.
30 to 1 unnecessary distraction.
Yeah.
30 unnecessary distractions at least for every one time it's been. And of course, we conducted worship worship services for many years with that those devices. Mike, I'm thinking of a time I'm in a performance at a concert. I'm in a tuxedo. Yeah. There's a spotlight on me. I'm in a concert hall singing a solo, and I feel my pocket. Bzz, bzz, and I was like, are you kidding me? I'm trying to sing a song about the Lord here.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, we've become so connected to them. They're like oxygen tanks, you know, but we don't need it.
Now, think about those three things.
Yeah.
Don't take them into your meetings.
That's good.
Don't take them to any of your, when you're eating, if you're in a restaurant, if you're at home, don't take it to a meal, and don't take it to a worship service.
Yeah,
now, if you just made those three changes there, you would have probably upgraded your experience right there. I want to give a fourth concept.
Yep.
When you're in a conversation with somebody, don't pull your phone out and look at it
while
they're talking to you. To me, and I'm guilty. I'm telling you. I know I'm preaching to the choir literally here, but I'm preaching myself here. But until I made this change a few weeks ago, I was very guilty. I mean, Brian, you matter infinitely to me. You know you do. I don't have to convince you of that. But
keep trying.
Okay.
No, I'm just
kidding. But if you and I were in a conversation in a meeting, and every 2 minutes I'm looking at my phone, whether I'm trying to say this or not, I'm basically saying to you, by the way, I've got other stuff more important than you are.
Yeah.
And in a ministry appointment where you're, can you imagine you're talking to somebody about their walk with the Lord, about the, you know, what God's called them to do? Oh, excuse me. I mean, you're always looking at your phone. It's rude, really.
And I want to go back to what you said before, Mike. A lot of times when you and I are talking, it's significant decisions. We may be talking about personnel. We may be talking about millions of dollars potentially in revenue. And of course, that impacts how we do ministry here. We're a ministry funded by a business.
But I just got a Facebook post, Brian.
I mean, or anything. and we're making serious decisions, Mike. And you're in a position, you know, with the amount of people that you lead, people's lives, their jobs, their futures, their ability to pay their bill is based on the decisions we make. And can we afford to not be making the best decisions?
Yeah.
Now, think about that from the financial business perspective. Then think about it from the
spiritual
ministry perspective.
Gosh.
You're trying to lead someone to faith in Christ. You're trying to lead someone to a better walk with the Lord, a closer relationship with their Savior, a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit, and you're distracted from that.
Yeah, exactly.
By a device. One of the things I did, Mike, you know, when I first got email on my phone, I had it set up to send me that notification the same as when I get a text, when I get an email. And I turned that off, the notification when I get an email. It's now been more than a year here at Lifeway.
Yeah.
Turned it off.
Oh, my.
It's never burned me one time.
Not once.
The reality is I check email so frequently, it's probably never been 15 minutes before but at home, Mike, when I get home and when it's, you know, after 5, you probably can't get me on my cell phone after 5.
Yeah.
Now, I'll check it before I go to bed, but you're not going to get an immediate response from me on my cell phone after 5 most of the time.
So let me give a couple more thoughts
unusual.
As we talk about this intervention. Recently, I took some time off, and I told all of you guys, hey, I'm going to be gone. Me and Teresa are going to the mountains. And
I
put an email, a message on my email, an away message that said something like, my phone is in my wife's purse. If you need me, call Anna Claire Tadlock. And I gave them Anna Claire's number there and her email address. And then I told Anna Claire this. I said, Anna Claire, I'm not going to be looking at my phone at all. If emergency situation arose, call Teresa, my wife. And she had Teresa's number. And my phone, Brian, my phone sat in my briefcase all week long. And we went hiking and we went to the lake and we went to an Atlanta Braves game. And we went, and you know what? And guess what? A urgent thing happened while I was gone.
Right.
There was something. There was a big, urgent message. And one night, Teresa was, she was in the bathroom preparing for dinner, getting dressed for dinner. And I thought, I had a few minutes as by myself. I thought, let me just glance at my phone. And I glanced at it. And there was an urgent text message from another leader here at Lifeway. And but that person knew I was gone because I had communicated ahead of time.
Right.
And that person's message to me was, I've got something urgent to tell you. Call me when you get this message. And if you don't call me before this such day, just know we'll follow up later. So here's what I want to say about that. And when I found out later what it was, it really was urgent. I mean, it was something. It might, if anything would have reached the level of, man, we got to get a hold of Mike.
Yeah.
This might have gotten there. But guess what? I did get it a little bit later. I miss a little bit of time with this thing. But the earth didn't stop turning.
Right.
And nobody died.
Yeah. I can hear my mother.
It all worked out. Yeah. You know, it all worked out. I think this idea of that we have to be available all the time is just absurd. Last point. As a leader, take this pressure off your people.
That's good.
And Brian, you will remember this. Maybe you should tell this part. But after when I made this change, I was meeting with all of our leaders here at Lifeway, and I wanted to tell I told everybody on our team, I've made a change, and I want y'all to know about it. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be available to me 24/7. You don't.
That's good.
And I what I was trying to do was to give you all permission.
Right.
To not feel like, well, I better leave my phone home. Mike might need, you know, that's absurd.
Yep.
And I sure hope some folks out there are going to be helped by this. And maybe you can't make a total change overnight, but maybe there's one or two things you could do to kind of get this back under control.
I'll never forget, Mike. I think I was preparing. It was something at church. I think it was a revival meeting, as I recall. And I was in the home. I was in my parents' home. And my mom, I was going crazy. And I finally, mom was telling me to calm down. And I said, look, I'm the only one. I have got to get this done, you know. And she said to me, she said, Brian, you know, if you were to now this is my mom. She said, if you were to pass away, we would mourn your loss, certainly.
Yeah.
But
somehow,
the revival would still happen.
Somehow.
Yeah. It really would. We'd still have church Sunday.
And you know,
even if you weren't there to lead worship.
I've said this a million times, Brian, but you know, every church I've ever left is still open. Every one of them.
None of them.
Not a single one of them shut
people
down.
People still getting baptized.
Not a single one of them.
Unbelievable.
They've all got choirs.
Yeah.
They're all singing songs.
Right.
Nobody quit when I left. It was amazing.
Yeah. God doesn't need us. We're honored that he uses us, but he can accomplish a ministry without us. And I tell you, it really is. Is ultimately, Mike, being available 24/7 is an ego thing that says, oh, man, people could do it, but they can't do it the way I can do it. And you know what? The reality is, as you said, we don't make the best decisions when we're distracted. We're actually not serving ourselves, our families, or our church as well. And, man, what a great, great reminder. I would just say, Mike, like you, all the principles you've outlined are great. If those exact steps don't work for you, find a way
to
escape.
I got to throw one more
in. Please.
I meant to say this
we
one
need
already.
As many as we can find.
Don't have your phone near you when you're doing your Bible study and prayer time. Oh, my gosh.
That's good.
You know what? When it's time to get in the Word, leave your phone in the other room.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about that distraction.
Yeah.
I'm going to read my Bible right now. I'm going to pray. Oh, I just got an email.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can't we leave our phone in the other room?
I just wish people at Lifeway would not take it into the bathroom with them. That'd be nothing. I mean, if you need any more evidence of how connected we are to
these things. It's a different intervention at that point.
Absolutely right. Well, I'd love to hear from you. I'm sure many of our listeners have had interventions of their own. So we'd love to learn from you, lessons you've learned, maybe tips and tricks that you would like to share about how you can disconnect from the distractions so that you can serve your family better, serve your church better, serve yourself better. So just email us, worship@lifeway.com, or join us at the blog, theworshiplife.com. Website, and share the story. Join the discussion. Let us know what we can learn from you. As always, let us know how we can pray for you, your church, and your ministry when we gather as a team to do that. And we hope you'll be praying for us as we attempt to serve the church and her mission of making disciples using the language of music. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us today on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. We look forward to being back together with you again very soon.